Mediocrity Podcast. Talk about that nerdy stuff. Movies, comics, and video games. It's all good and there ain't no fluff. Brian Kluger is hosting the show. Jeremy Miggert's got jokes. Jonathan Atterbury sounds really handsome, and we all sure love you folks.
We're back. We're here. We're laughing already. Just because we're trying to gauge on what size my boner is and how much it grows.
And in which direction.
It was, yeah, which direction. There was a lot going on here. But welcome to Mediocrity, episode 19. Are we okay? Are our levels okay? All right. Every week we go through a routine of our sound, and we're going to get it right one day. But right now, it sounds good. But Mediocrity, where the show is just okay. We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher Radio under the Multimedia Men banner. So look for us. Subscribe to us. I'm Brian Kluger with BoomstickComics.com and HighDefDigest.com and the Entertainment Answer Radio Show. We have an awesome show for you today. Halloween is only a couple days away. We're going to talk about Michael Jackson's Thriller album. We're going to talk about Steve Dillon, the late comic book artist that died this week. We're going to talk about upcoming horror movies, Star Wars video games, some news that just broke today. But I am joined by the amazing Jonathan Atterbury.
What's up, man?
New American Fitness.
.net.
.net.
Shazam.
You are hardcore. What's going on, buddy?
I'm good. You got a little something on your lip there.
Oh, herpes? Food.
Yeah.
It's not herpes if it's everywhere. It's food. I ate a lot. It's Friday. Lay off me. I'm starving. What's going on? You dressing up for Halloween?
Yeah, I'm going as Boba Fett.
Boba? Oh, that's right. Boba yeah. Fett. The costume's ready and done?
I did this costume last year. Yeah, last year. So all right. It's all ready.
It went over. How naked are you in it?
Really, it's just a Boba Fett hoodie and, you know, pants and stuff like that with the sleeves cut off.
Okay. So Boba Fett.
It's casual.
What's new in New American Fitness?
Not a whole lot, really. Just been keeping busy with the coaching.
All right, good.
Writing articles.
Yeah, yeah. You're looking handsome.
Thank you.
And the other
shaved today just for you.
You did everywhere?
Just a little bit. Just
a little
bit.
Just the cheeks.
Just get rid of the cheek hair.
Oh, God. So turned on right now still. And the other handsome man to your right, across from me, is Jeremy Maggart. How are you?
Hello.
Are you watching the Cubs and the Indians?
I probably will watch some tonight. I haven't had a chance to watch the last couple of days.
Really? Oh, it's been so good. Yeah. I've been loving it because I know you're a baseball fan.
I am.
How's Primal Instinct? How's the comic book biz? What's
it's
new
good,
in your
man.
World?
I just drew on Primal Instinct, and I decided to do a just for fun kind of little 6-page sci-fi horror comic that I've been working on that I'm about 4 pages into, so I'll have that most likely wrapped up this weekend.
Can you can you give us like an exclusive or anything like that? Or are you saving it?
Yes. It sort of ties in ironically to Space Beards, and in Space Beards, humanity has expanded into the galaxy, and when they did that, like all like the curses, like the monsters had to they did too.
Okay.
And so in Space Beards, you've all these kind of like fringe areas in the galaxy right out in space where, you know, where the monsters or whatever you want to call them were allowed to kind of flourish and build their own, you know, kind of communities and things like that. Well, in order to do that, they had to like secretly get off the planet. And this is basically a 6-page story of a vampire mother and daughter trying to find a way to get off planet kind of in secret.
That's cool.
Oh, cool.
And people can get this after this weekend somewhere?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
From your websites?
Yeah, it'll probably be on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, Jeremy Maggart Art.
Cool.
Yeah,
awesome.
They'll be able to read it all there.
That's awesome.
So like the Diary of Anne Frank, but with vampires.
Probably.
Okay.
Oh. I should read that.
Who the fuck is Anne Frank? Is she the blind and deaf chick?
Yeah, she's the water girl.
I'm sorry, folks. We just had to go there. That's cool. You have something in your hand.
I have some presents for you guys.
You have presents?
I do.
Ooh, it's
I
Halloween.
Figured that since it was our Halloween show, I would do some little sketches for you guys.
Oh, my gosh.
I've been practicing some different like inking techniques.
Awesome.
This is so cool. I got an original hand-drawn Freddy Krueger painting or draw illustration from Jeremy Maggard, and it looks badass. Thank you, man.
You're welcome.
What'd you get?
I got a handcrafted piece of fine art here. It's Gary Oldman's Dracula. It's Gary Oldman's old Dracula with the booby hair.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That's right. Look at that.
Look at that.
Dude, that looks awesome.
Thank you, man.
We're going to take pictures of these, and we're going to post them on the Facebook at Mediocrity and on our personal. And let's ask Jeremy.
I love it.
Does Jeremy take commissions for anybody who wants one?
Sure.
All right. Commission Jeremy to make you a horror picture. These are badass. It's going to be framed.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to masturbate to it. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Sweet.
That was expected.
That's expected. No, this is badass. Freddy Krueger and Dracula. Thanks, man.
You're welcome. When I was drawing old Bram Stoker Dracula there, it was really funny because there was a while where it was starting to piss me off because as I was drawing it, you start to realize that old Bram Stoker, Gary Oldman Dracula does not look that much different than Chancellor Palpatine before he becomes Darth Sidious. And there was like a good 2 hours where I could not make it not look like fucking Chancellor Palpatine.
This is bad.
I recognize it immediately.
Well, that's good.
I love it.
This is awesome.
Like, even like the hair, you know, where it kind of goes up and like they have almost, it's like, man, it's like those same features.
Same person.
Well, thank you again, man. Happy Halloween. Yeah. Oh, this is badass. Go Jeremy Maggard art. Look him up.
Damn fine fellow.
Damn fine fellow indeed. I want to first, before we get into the sad news of Steve Dillon, I want to bring up a story that just broke less than an hour ago. The reboot of Rambo has just been greenlit.
Really?
And it is not going to be Sylvester Stallone. They are getting somebody new. We don't know. Hey, it would be awesome to see him again, but no, it's somebody else. So are you excited for a Rambo reboot?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think the character's dead yet.
No, I mean, it's like, I don't know. It's just one of those characters that doesn't even matter what he's doing. He can just be just shooting people, and everyone will be happy with that.
Yeah, so it's called New Blood instead of First Blood. So New Blood. So
As long as Channing Tatum's not playing him, I'll be fine.
Why? You don't like Channing Tatum?
I hate Channing Tatum
so much.
You are
so weird. He is so amazing.
He's awful.
No
one
way.
One of the worst things to happen to film in a long
you
time.
You are wrong, sir.
Just so
wrong,
bad.
Wrong, wrong.
But that's
wrong.
Exciting. I mean, who do you want to see play Rambo? Who would we enjoy seeing?
Channing Tatum. I don't know how they're gonna do that.
Yeah. It's
what if they got a black chick to do it?
I think they should give the role to Chris Evans after he retires from Captain America.
Kevin Hart as Rambo. Let's do it. I'm for that movie. Can you imagine? What about The Rock?
I mean, I love The Rock, and he can play anything in my book.
So when I Rambo, John Rambo seems like a Rock thing.
Maybe. It's awful a lot like, what was his movie, Standing Tall? Standing Tall. And
Walking Tall.
Yeah, Walking Tall. That was it. Walk Tall.
John Rambo, like this is over. Nothing is over! What about you, Jeremy? What do you think about this?
I'm just replaying your impersonation of what I assume is supposed to be The Rock delivering Rambo lines.
If you smell, what do you think? Are you excited for another Rambo? Do you think
I'm indifferent?
You're indifferent.
Yeah.
You don't give a shit.
Not really.
All right.
I think as long as it's as violent as the last. So is Stallone producing or directing or anything?
It hasn't been said yet. Okay. I would imagine he would be an executive producer.
If I want it to be a hard R, just like the last Rambo.
The last Rambo was pretty hardcore.
The last Rambo was, in my opinion, the best Rambo.
Ripped out a pedophile mass murderer's throat and then killed a dude point blank with like an anti-aircraft tank gun.
Oh, yeah. The whole scene where he's got that, it's just like that gigantic, like, I don't know what gauge it is because I don't know gun stuff, but it's a big, huge freaking gun. And he's shooting everyone. Everyone in the world is getting blown up by this gun. And he shot a guy real close up and it was just like
point blank. It was badass.
Blood and guts pouring off of the front of the machine gun.
It was so good. So, yeah, that news just released less than an hour, right before I came here.
That's exciting.
No, I am excited. So, yeah, you heard it here first. If you haven't heard it already, you hear it here first on Mediocrity. But let's get into the sad news of the untimely death of Steve Dillon, who was an excellent comic book artist. He was born on March 22nd, 1962, and he died October 22nd of this year, just a few days ago. He was 54 years old, and it looks like he died from a ruptured appendix.
Wow.
Which is very common that happens to people, but I guess he didn't get to the hospital on time or something.
Well, I'm not sure what was going on. I saw some pictures. As I was looking him up, he didn't look like he was in good health before he passed.
Well,
I'm not
read
sure.
That, they thought he had food poisoning, and that's why he didn't go to the hospital.
Initially. Oh, but it was a ruptured appendix. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And that's what.
Yeah. Seriously, if you have a sharp, severe stomach pain on that one side of your stomach, like seriously, get checked out because that could be your appendix, and you could see that this guy died from it. That crazy. Really sucks. So Steve Dillon is mostly known for. Drawing all the iconic, you know, cover art and comics for Preacher, Hellblazer, and a lot of work on Punisher. He worked with Garth Ennis. He worked, or he was born in London as well, and he worked on. He got to start doing Hulk Weekly in the UK, which was really cool, and did some Nick Fury stuff. Like he's been around a lot, and you would know his artwork. Like it is just so. Different than anything else that's out there. It is really cool. Jeremy, I know this hit you pretty hard. What are you feeling? What are you thinking?
To me, it was really sad because he's one of the few guys. There really, to me, are a handful of artists that really understand visual storytelling and how to, they're not just kind of drawing a script, but they understand how to move a story across a page and what happens on a page. And he was one of, just hands down, the absolute best dudes for that. Like he was never a guy that drew anything flashy for the sake of being flashy. Like everything that was on the page, it was just 100%. I'm here to tell a story.
It was like raw and natural, yeah. And just it's so good. They actually there's been art books just of his covers, yeah. That he's ever done. I own one of all like the Preacher covers. It is so cool. What?
I don't think those are his covers.
Wait.
I think that's Glenn Mabry.
Oh, that's right, Glenn Mabry. I'm sorry, but he's done cover art.
He has done yes. cover art, but a lot that's of the right. famous Glenn Preacher covers, I yeah. think, are Glenn Mabry.
But yeah, Steve Dillon was the, I got that mixed up, but yeah, no, Steve Dillon, but he's a good dude. Are you familiar with his work?
Honestly, I wasn't familiar with his work until I heard about his passing. I saw it pop up on the internet. And, at that point I looked into it, especially once I knew we were going to be talking about it on the show. And as soon as I looked it up, I recognized a lot of his art or recognized his style. So I'd obviously seen it before, but not being a gigantic comic book guy, I wasn't familiar with his name.
What was your first comics that you got into Steve Dillon?
His were actually, it was before Preacher. It was his run on The Punisher with Garth Ennis.
Yeah, which was a good story.
And he's really one of the few dudes in terms of like, because he had a huge effect obviously with Preacher, but then all the Constantine Hellblazer stuff. But when you look at Preacher, he's really one of the few dudes that had, or sorry, at Punisher, he's one of the few guys that actually had a lasting influence and kind of contribution to The Punisher. The majority of the guys, it's, you know, can be fairly disposable, but you know, his run with Garth Ennis, I mean, there's so much of his stuff that, you know, in the Thomas Jane Punisher movie, I mean, there him and Ennis's work is all over that movie.
Yeah. It's I just can't believe that happened. And the comic book community was really upset about it.
Yeah.
Because it's something like, you know, we probably know several people that just had their appendix out or whatever. Like it's a common thing.
It's just sudden. I mean, anytime you have someone that dies way before their time, suddenly like that, it's always a shock. It's like what happened with Anton Yelchin, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like he'd been sick for years or he was an old guy or anything like that. Just when you get someone that gets taken out really soon, way before you expected them to go, it's always shocking and very saddening.
That is very sad. Steve Dillon, seriously, if one of the best stories ever written, like, any book or comic ever is Preacher. Seriously, pick it up. You can see Steve Dillon's artwork in it. You can see Garth Ennis writing. It is so good. And they made an AMC TV show out of it that just ended its first season. It's really good. And of course, Hellblazer is Constantine. That's the Keanu Reeves movie or the short-lived TV series. And of course, Punisher, which is a very, one of the coolest comic book characters, I think.
Yeah, he just, absolutely.
He's hell-bent on revenge.
Punisher's got his own show coming up. On Netflix.
Yes, he does. And it would be cool to see like if that Punisher series will pay tribute to Steve Dillon in some form or fashion.
Wouldn't be surprised.
That would be cool. Yeah. Like maybe have a like a restaurant named Dillon's or something like that, you know, like in a couple episodes.
I would like them to do that, but they intentionally have been leaving things like that out of the Netflix stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because at referencing like when you watch the Affleck Fox Daredevil movie, there's tons of references to writers and artists and nods and all that stuff. But when they made the Daredevil TV show, they were like, nope. They didn't want to put in anything that somebody would look at it and be like, oh, hey. And it kind of like pulled them out of the moment of watching the story.
Interesting. I would like them to do that. That would be awesome.
Or like Easter egg it, where if you've got like a, let's say you're in a restaurant or whatever, and there's a bunch of pictures on the wall, just have like Steve Dillon be one of the pictures.
Yeah, that would be really cool. And I think it's like, I don't think that takes you out of the movie, I think, or the show. I think that just kind of like, oh, sweet, wink, you know, I get it, you know? Yeah.
Different than like having like Bendis Avenue or whatever.
Yeah, no, that would be really cool. That would be really cool. Well, we miss you, Steve Dillon. You'll live on through our comics and everything. But yeah, let's move on to a lighter note. That news came out today, which you can see on boomstickcomics.com. I want to feel like I'm partly responsible for this. John Turturro is reprising his Jesus character from Big Lebowski in a spinoff Big Lebowski movie.
That's awesome.
I had the opportunity a few years ago to interview John Turturro for a movie called American Gigolo. It was him and Woody Allen movie, and it's really funny. But when I interviewed John Turturro for it, I asked him, I was like, hey, is it okay if I ask the Jesus some questions? And he got a smile on his face. He's like, sure, man. So I asked him a few questions, and he was really excited about it. So I'd like to think that played a little part.
You planted the seed.
I planted the seed Inception-like. Let's do this, because he like got this going. Like, this is like his movie, basically. So it basically follows the character Jesus Quintana bowling with other people. So I'm glad we live in a world where this happens.
Are the Coens involved in this project in any way?
I'm sure it'll be like story-wise, mm-hmm. or maybe even executive producer, but there definitely won't be directing or writing, really.
That's too bad.
But still, Turturro's a great writer, so I think he will have a big hand in this. But just to get more the Jesus, nobody fucks with a Jesus. I mean, I'm super excited about that. He's a pederast.
As soon as I saw that news, I was really, really happy.
I was real excited.
Will John Goodman be showing up in the movie?
So that's what brought my attention to, or not my attention, but I thought about like, oh my God, are we going to get like a really small cameo of Walter Sobchak or the dude?
Oh man, either one would just be amazing.
Just have them in the background bowling.
Oh my gosh.
Don't even give them lines. Just have them in the background bowling and talking where you can't even hear what they're saying.
If they have to do that. Like, they have to be in the background and like he has to come up to them and give them shit again or something like that.
We need that.
Yes, we do.
That's what America needs right now.
Make America Lebowski again or something. Go out and vote.
Hashtag.
Bagels.
Make America Lebowski again.
The hilarious thing is when I saw it, it's like it was one of those things that like every other like April Fool's it comes up that, you know, the Coen brothers, you know, it's just like, oh, there's going to be a new Netflix Firefly series.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like one of those things. But then like what happens is it runs on like April Fool's. And then like 6 months later, somebody sees it and doesn't realize the date. And then they start posting it again. And then everybody gets all excited because now they think it's real.
Yeah.
And that was the first thing I thought of. I was like, well, I'm just going to assume that Kluger did his research. And it's legit.
I did my research. So usually every April Fool's on boomstickcomics.com, I run crazy stories, and a couple times over the past few years it's made rounds in Hollywood, and it's just people don't read until the very end where it says this would be true in a perfect world, but it's not Happy April Fools. And so like, but now we live in time with like Netflix like reviving everything, mm-hmm. that so many of the things I've done in the past have come true. Like Mystery Science Theater is coming back, that's happening, you know, like Arrested Development's coming back, that's happening. So it's weird to see just everything coming I think they read the site.
I know you're all excited about making a Full House sequel.
I know, and they did. And it was
Gilmore Girls, and it was,
oh God, I can't. That's what I'm doing November 25th. That's what all I'm doing.
The Kleenex and the lotion out and ready to go.
Seriously. And then before
Rory.
Oh God, Rory and Lorelai and Luke, I love it. Before we move on, do we just have to talk because we talk about Kevin Hart a lot? He looks like he's going.
When you say we, you mean you.
I mean me. The royal, the editorial we.
We're kind of roped into it, really.
Disney is making a movie about Santa Claus and they want Kevin Hart to play Santa Claus.
So are we talking about were they remaking like the Tim Allen movies with Kevin Hart?
No, it's not called Santa Claus, but it's going to be a movie where it's going to be like Santa Claus, like where he's going to play Santa Claus.
Not the Santa Claus.
He's going to play Santa Claus. Yeah, I don't know.
I would rather just get another Tim Allen, the Santa Claus movie, honestly.
I'm telling you, I feel like like Medea, like Medea's or what, Tyler Perry's thing. I think Kevin Hart's going to be like the new Ernest. Ernest saved Christmas. Ernest goes to jail. I think, or Kevin Hart is going to like be the new Ernest.
Kevin Hart goes to jail.
Yes.
Kevin Hart saves Christmas.
I would rather them just do that and just use Kevin and then just call him Kevin Hart in every movie.
I agree with that.
Rather than having him like giving him character names, because Central Intelligence, I would have enjoyed it way more if it had just been Dwayne and Kevin.
That would be great.
We should have a whole series of just Dwayne and Kevin.
All right, so maybe starting in November, we can come up each week, one of us comes up with a Dwayne and Kevin movie scenario and pitch it at the table, and we vote on whether to green light it or not.
I like that idea.
All right. So moving on to one of our topics today, let's do Michael Jackson Thriller.
All right.
You came up with this today. This album, Michael Jackson Thriller, it is still the best-selling album of all time, still, with over 65 million records. It came out November 30th, 1982. The album was only 42 minutes long.
With seven top 10 singles, though.
Seven top 10. Crazy.
Which is insane. Yeah.
How many songs total?
11. No, wait. It was nine or is it 11?
I think there's 11 songs.
11 total. Songs. I think nine of them or 10 of them were. Quincy Jones produced it. It came out on Epic. Only four of the tracks were written by Michael Jackson. It's just crazy. It won 8 Grammys, and actually the music video to Thriller, which you've all seen before, which is probably the best music video ever made, was one of the only music videos ever to be put into the National Film Registry archives for its importance and significance in American culture. Actually, Quincy and Michael Jackson wrote 30 songs for this album, and only 9 went on the album. Paul McCartney sang with Michael Jackson on the album. Which song was that?
The Girl Is Mine.
Yes, and they both recorded that November 8th, which was the final recording for that album.
A correction, there's only 9 tracks on the album.
Okay, yeah, 9 tracks. Yeah. 9 went on the album. So I guess 7 went on. Seven singles.
Top 10.
Yep, 7 singles. So
seven
only 2
out
to
of 9.
Yeah, and crazy. And then
it won 8 Grammys in 1984 too, including Album of the Year.
Yeah, it won like everything.
Yeah,
a lot of the band members from Toto were on the album doing the music for it.
Yep.
Which Toto, you know, you pass the reins down in Africa and Rosanna, but you never know that Toto actually probably some of the best musicians.
Yeah, Steve Lukather, the guitar player, did a lot of the guitar work on Thriller, except for of course the solo on Beat It, which was Eddie Van Halen.
Absolutely.
There are a lot of rumors about that too.
Oh, really?
The rumor, because like Van Halen was like uber drinking back then, and I still think it's Eddie, but a lot of people claim that Eddie went in there and was just like uber hammered and just played, because he went in there and recorded 3 different solos and they just picked the one they liked. Mm-hmm. But the rumor is that they went to Lukather and they were like, hey, listen to this, will you do this not drunk.
But there, it's, I agree with you though.
I still think it's Eddie, but that's the rumor, is that it's not Eddie, that it's actually Steve Lukather.
It just sounds too
but
much
I still,
like Eddie
I still
in
think
there.
It's Eddie.
Yeah. Even if it was drunken Eddie, he can still get his personality a little bit too much in the playing for it to be anyone else.
Yeah, it's Eddie. When you hear it, it sounds like Eddie almost. But, I mean, goddamn, that song is so good, Beat It.
Every song on that album is
it is great. So the 4 songs he wrote, that Michael wrote, because he only wrote 4 on that album, he wrote Wanna Be Starting Something, The Girl Is Mine with Paul McCartney. He wrote Beat It and Billie Jean. Those were the only 4 he wrote.
And Man in the Mirror.
And that was on Bad. Wrote those with Quincy Jones,
Man
correct?
In the Mirror is on Bad, not on Thriller.
I know.
Okay.
You're Quincy Jones, with me. And he co-wrote those songs. Correct?
Yeah.
Correct?
Oh.
So Quincy Jones was the producer of the album.
Correct.
And he had, a lot of people don't even know who Quincy Jones is, but he had an incredible influence on the way that album. If it hadn't been for him, it wouldn't have been
Quincy
that
Quincy Jones is basically Motown, and he did Off the Wall, Jackson's previous album to Thriller.
All of the best Michael Jackson stuff was done with Quincy Jones.
Correctamundo.
Yeah.
And actually, Michael didn't write lyrics on paper. He used a sound recorder in his house to like just flesh out the words. That's how he recorded.
Not just the words, but the music.
Yeah, the music.
He just would make the sounds and stuff like that, and then convey that to the musicians.
Yeah, exactly.
It must have been so much fun for them.
Yeah, what a nightmare. On the album This Is It, you can probably download it or buy it on vinyl or CD, but there is a demo of Beat It where Michael is in a sound recorder, and he does the demo like... He sings it like da 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 da.
So like, so you want that?
Yeah. How do you want
that? Major?
Yeah. As a guitarist, it would be a nightmare to be like, I need you to do this, and it's just like the singing of da 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 da. I'm like, oh god.
But hey, you got to give Michael credit. He knew exactly what he wanted, and he knew
it was Michael that actually gave Eddie Van Halen the idea for the solo with his lips. Just try to sing the guitar solo for Beat It, and you'll know why I'm laughing so much right now.
If somebody handed me that, I would immediately just assume I was being trolled.
It's so good. Yeah, but you can listen to that on the This Is It album. Actually, the recording process for this was actually not all happy-go-lucky. It seems like Michael and Quincy were not happy with the end product, so they went into each song and took a week for each song to remix it, and then they came up with the final project, which... That's a solid extra nine.
Though.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised. So the budget for the album was $750,000 in 1982, which by today's money is almost $2
million. Which is crazy.
It's nuts for an album.
For 42 minutes of music.
A pure solid gold. But think about how much, I mean, what an investment that was. Spend $2 million and then make Thriller money off of it.
Yeah. Man. No, it's crazy. And actually, do you know what the song Billie Jean, because probably the most song that's played is Billie Jean at dance parties or clubs or whatever, bar mitzvahs and weddings and shit.
It's probably the most
Billie Jean
popular still.
And you know what that song's about, right?
It was Obsessed about fans. Rory Gilmore, right?
Rory Gilmore. Yes, it all goes back to Gilmore Girls. No, it's about his obsessed fans. Like,
claiming that he had kids that were not his own.
Yeah,
like
so
that.
He wrote that about that and it just became, it's because... When you're hearing it in a club or a wedding, you don't think of that at all. You just think of the dance music and the bass line, you know.
Just want to shake your ass. That's all.
Yeah, you just want to shake your ass. Watch yourself. And you know what Thriller was originally called?
I read it recently, but I forgot the name of it.
They had two names. Something? Starlight.
Starlight.
Which would have been awful. And then the other one was Midnight Man. But they ended up with Thriller because they thought it was more marketable.
Yeah.
Which... Goddamn Thriller so good. And I don't know if it's called
For those
Starlight.
Of you that don't know, the guy doing the intro, the voice for Thriller, the commentary, I guess you would call it, was Vincent Price, the legendary Vincent Price.
Yes, he was. For you youngsters, if you've seen Edward Scissorhands, he created Edward in the movie. He died shortly after that, but he's in a string of old classic horror movies.
Not just in a string; he's like the horror guy for the old times.
Yeah, he is the guy. They got him to do the narration, you know, for Thriller, which is really cool.
Yeah, so isn't it the original House on the Haunted Hill? He was a big star of that movie.
Correct. Yeah. Oh, I think he was in 13 Ghosts, like the original one.
Tons of
movies,
but those are just a few that you can check out if you want to see him in his prime.
And of course, Michael's always been a fan of horror and the occult. And, you know, in almost all of his albums, there is a horror-esque song in there. And of course, Thriller just...
Except for Off the Wall.
Off the Wall. I mean, there's almost the song Off the Wall almost sounds very ghostly, like that... You know that?
What's the name of that instrument? The thing that you move your hand with?
Oh,
it almost sounds ghastly.
A theremin.
A theremin, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's that kind of sound, but I don't think that's what that was. But that's what you made me think of.
Okay, well, no.
Theremin. Isn't it theremin?
Theremin, yeah.
No, but he's always been interested. So it was cool when he did Thriller. I mean, so I got turned on to Michael Jackson really young and
turned on by Michael Jackson.
Yes, very much so. Thriller came out, and I remember when I was really young, I was always scared of him turning into the werewolf. So I would hide behind the wall, and then he turned into the werewolf, and then I'd come back and learn the dances. And I learned to dance like Michael by watching all of his videos, But Thriller was Michael always referred to his music videos as short films. He never wanted anybody to refer to him as music videos.
Right.
And John Landis, you know, the director of Animal House, the director of Coming to America, directed Thriller. And just how Michael and that choreographer, his choreographer, created those like monstrous dance steps and stuff. Just so good.
Iconic. I mean, yeah. The whole album is iconic. Absolutely. Because it's like you're saying, those dance moves off of Thriller, anyone that's seen anyone doing that kind of Thriller dance move, it's just something that all of us can picture immediately.
Yeah. I mean, how many times have you watched a Thriller music video, Jeremy?
A couple times?
One or two?
One or two?
Probably three or four.
God, I think I've seen it maybe 1,000 or more. It's that good. And like the Rick Baker did the werewolf and all the makeup, and he was famous for, right before that, American Werewolf in London, which we've talked to.
They
about.
Got the top-notch guys to work on that video.
And yeah, and Rick Baker, that was like him starting out. That was 1983, 1982 when they did that video.
But such a fun music video. You know, when you watch that, especially that video, I mean, all of Michael Jackson's music videos were great.
Yeah.
But that one in particular is a short film.
Right.
It tells a perfect story, and it's exciting. It's super interesting to watch.
Yeah, Thriller. And probably the other really good one on this one, as music video-wise, is Beat It. Like, the two gangs coming together.
West Side Story.
Yo, it's so... I mean, every time that comes on, I try to find somebody wherever I am to, like, tie your fist together and, like, take out your knives and do the battle.
Because you always carry knives on yourself.
I got my knife.
But also Billie Jean. If you think of the music video for Billie Jean where he's stepping on the steps that are lighting up.
Right.
That's another iconic scene with the socks, the white socks.
Yeah, that was... Well, most people would not do that video. They would do his Motown performance where he debuted the moonwalk for right. Billie Jean. So that, I think, I actually like watching that live performance rather than the music video to Billie Jean when he's dancing on the sidewalk. Just mm-hmm. because to see him come out and see the audience go batshit crazy, because that Motown was celebrating its like 20th year or something like that.
Right.
So I know him and the Jacksons played before that, but then he was like, I'm going to show this, you know, and he did that thing and he had like the white T-shirt and the black sequin, and you're just like, dude, this guy's going places. They debuted the
moonwalk. He had already gone places.
But let's go down the run thing. It's the track one's "Want to Be Starting Something," which is an excellent track.
Right.
Then you have "Baby Be Mine," which was not one of them, not one of the singles.
Every track on the album's fantastic. Then we had "The Gorilla's Mind" with Paul McCartney,
which. They were friends, then they weren't, then they really never recovered from
it
that.
It was when Michael Jackson, well, Paul McCartney was telling him, like, hey, if you want to make a great investment, you got to buy the rights to songs.
Yes.
And then Michael Jackson was like, okay. And then
I'm going to buy the music Beatles. Came up, yeah.
He bought all the Beatles music, which didn't sit so well with old Sir Paul there.
Yeah, but it happened. And then Thriller.
Yeah, and then the title track Thriller, which is amazing. Beat It after that.
And Billie Jean. God, that's crazy. Human Nature, which is in my top three all-time favorite Michael Jackson songs.
One of the fewer slow songs on the album.
It's so good, though.
Yeah.
It's very good
lyrics on that one. I mean, it's all fantastic, but really cool introspective lyrics on that one.
Right.
And then PYT.
It's such a fun song.
Such a fun dance groove to that one.
Yeah, pretty young thing. So there's a point in the song where towards the end where Michael's singing like "Pee, what pretty young thing," and then
nah.
And you hear two girls' voices go nah. That was Latoya and Janet's voice when they were super super young.
He
had on the album.
I did not know that.
Yeah, that is them. So that's like really cool when they were like 5 and 8 or something like that.
Awesome.
How cool is that?
Yeah,
that's cool. They're the first thing, and then "The Lady in My Life." That's a hell, man, Michael. My God, beautiful black Michael. Before it all went sour. I'm serious. When I say young, beautiful black Michael, I'm just like, when it was like pre his, you know, getting hurt and his addiction to drugs.
Right.
And, you know, just all went sour from there.
It was him in his prime. And I think that the best Michael Jackson music was the dance music. Because this album, Thriller, and Off the Wall are two of the best dance albums of all time. When you listen to these tracks, you can't help but... I mean, at least I feel this way. When I listen to this music, I'm like, man, I wish I'd been alive or an adult in that time period so I could go dancing at clubs and stuff like this when this music was being played.
Right.
I mean, because it's popular to dance to that kind of music.
Well, I mean, I love Bad, but I think it's right after Bad, from Dangerous on, I think his music really got away from like the organic, raw feel of the just, you know, the normal four or five instruments. It became very overly
produced. I wouldn't say four or five instruments, because there was about a million on Thriller.
Well, I mean, like, you know, you have the funky bass lines. You have
it became more and more synth, though.
Yeah. So just it lost a lot of its appeal. I mean, I still love each album so much, but though Off the Wall and Thriller just have that not nostalgic, like said, but like a simple feel to it, you know?
Very organic, because there's human element that's missing in a lot of the other albums.
Correct.
Because there's a real drummer playing, there's a real bass player, a real guitar player, and things like that, which make a huge difference. When you take that out and it's all just being done by a guy with pads, it doesn't have the same feel.
Yeah. What do you think about Thriller? What are some of your favorite tracks on the album?
I'll live with you. I don't think I've ever listened to the album from beginning to end.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, which songs are really...
My favorite song on the album is probably Pretty Young Thing.
Pretty Young Thing? Mm-hmm. It's a great one. Fun. And every time, because most of the time, if you're at a restaurant that's playing music or something, it's going to be something off a Thriller album. You'll hear PYT or hear Billie Jean. Rarely will you hear Thriller. But it's still such a good song, not just for Halloween, but in life.
Yeah.
It is so cool. And I mean, I own an original 1980s Jordache red leather, black leather Thriller jacket. Like, it is badass.
Yes, you do. I forgot about that.
I definitely do. And like the red jeans, I mean, that's a cool costume. I hope I see people out like that today.
Unfortunately, it's like, you don't see people going as Michael Jackson very much anymore.
I was at Comic-Con recently. There's an interview with me with a guy with,
you found him.
I found one guy. He was really weird, but he was Billie Jean Michael Jackson, if I remember right. He was like the black and white, not the Thriller.
Yeah.
But he is Thriller is. It makes me want to listen to it right now. And they've re-released Thriller in a anniversary collection. And then with one of the anniversary collections they did, they had a lot of contemporary artists redo the songs.
Isn't that the 25th anniversary?
Okay, yes, that was the 25th. Something like that. But Kanye was on there, and a whole bunch of it sucked.
Yeah, just terrible. You don't remix Michael Jackson.
Yeah,
especially Thriller. I mean, you don't remix Quincy Jones.
Yeah,
you don't do that. It's a travesty.
And it was sad that Michael and Quincy like split. You know, after
they
I think
had
bad
such a good harmony together. They worked so
they did
so well.
I wish they still were there, but yeah. If you haven't listened to Thriller, please just go buy the record. Go download it.
Just listen.
Because it's some of the best music ever. And you'll realize why still in a music today as it was in the 80s, like, it's still the best-selling album of all time. Like, nobody has come close to that, which is crazy. So it's really cool. So Michael Jackson, Thriller. Let's talk about... Jeremy brought up a Star Wars video game that I have no idea about. So tell our listeners about the Star Wars games or games they can play.
Well, when Disney bought all the Lucas stuff, there's LucasArts, which was the branch that made some amazing video games, right?
And some stinkers.
But when that happened, everybody was like, okay, well, what's going to happen with LucasArts? And what ended up being the case was that EA and all of the kind of like, you know, gaming companies, they were going to take over development of all Star Wars video games. The first one we got was the DICE remade kind of Battlefront, which is good in some instances and not necessarily some in some others. But the other things that we were going to get was Visceral was going to make a Star Wars game, and Visceral was responsible for, I believe, the Dead Space games. Is that right?
Yes.
I think so. And then BioWare was going to go back to actually making another Star Wars game that is not just straight Old Republic. But some recently, a little bit of information has released about what Visceral is making, and they've shown a tiny bit of in-game footage of somebody walking around, and then some pictures of a dude kind of like climbing up the side of a wall with some stormtroopers up there, and the person who's in charge of developing the game, I forget what her name is, but she did she worked on some of the Uncharted games. So it's very much. Oh, and the guy that's running that studio has worked on some of like the really good Assassin's Creed games. So it's going to be very much looks like in the style of kind of like Uncharted, a little bit of an Assassin's Creed vibe to it.
That'd be cool.
Like actual third, like kind of third person view adventure game.
Have they announced like a release date?
They said 2018.
2018 is all they have.
Holy fucking
got a ways to go.
Yeah.
But well, okay. So I'm wait. So that will be the Han Solo movie then, right? Because
if that's
this,
coming out
this
2018
year,
around there, probably.
Well, yeah, because this year is Rogue One. Next year is Episode 8.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the Han Solo movie and then the Boba Fett movie. Or no, and then Episode 9 and then Boba Fett movie.
Gotcha.
So it looks like it'll be the Han Solo movie.
Yeah, right around there. And I'm hoping it's good. I just need more good Star Wars games to play.
Yeah.
That's all I care about.
Because even though you highly recommend Battlefront, you don't highly recommend Battlefront.
I recommend Star Wars Battlefront to Star Wars fans.
Okay.
Not just gamers in general. In your case, you've got two of your best friends that play the crap out of it.
That's true.
Not so much lately, though.
Why? Yeah?
Yeah, they were the
I thought the Death Star thing was
were getting
awesome.
All weird.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what we were experiencing. The servers were getting weird for Xbox One, so we took a little break.
Yeah, I've been playing Overwatch.
I've been just playing Red Dead Redemption, but that's all about to change because today my copy of the Skyrim remaster is arriving. And
oh, are
that's,
you, so is that, are you going to be, you're
going to
be
I'm
disappeared?
Going to full Gollum mode for the next 3 months.
Seriously, you should hook up. Do you have the thing where you can do the Twitch TV where you can
like, connect?
Yeah,
I do not have that.
Okay, I was wondering if you can like share your playing Skyrim with our Mediocrity listeners.
I can take some pictures and tweet about it.
Please
little bit.
Do.
Yeah,
that would be awesome. Just get full deeper into that Gollum mode. Yeah. You go. We won't see Atterbury for like 2 weeks. He'll pop out with like a raw fish in his mouth.
Exactly.
Like, I'm hungry. plugged in. So maybe this is the Star Wars game to like satisfy everybody.
Maybe. I'm just hoping it's not too much like Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, me too.
Because the Assassin's Creed games bum me out.
Why?
I've never finished one.
But because it's Assassin's Creed, what if it's Star Wars but like Assassin's Creed, you would probably finish it, right?
No doubt. But nonetheless, I would have to make myself because I don't with the Assassin's Creed games, I always get bored a couple hours into it. I'm like, yep, and this is the same thing over and over and over, and I don't care anymore.
Can they make like a Star Wars game like Halo? Like with like a campaign and
they already did. It's called the Dark Forces series.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Why
the Republic Commando.
They did that too.
Which there's a rumor that that's getting remade also.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Why did I miss this?
You never heard of Dark Forces?
No.
So Dark Forces was a whole series of computer games, and they also released the last one on Xbox.
Okay.
The first Xbox. So the first Dark Forces was looked like Doom or something like that.
Okay.
Star Wars. That's where have you heard of Kyle Katarn?
No.
No? Okay. Well, that's the protagonist from that video game series. Then in the second one, it was Dark Forces 2, Jedi Knight, and they made Kyle Katarn become a Jedi.
Okay.
So then you got a lightsaber. And then they had, after that, it was the third one, which was, actually it was kind of a spinoff of the second one called Mysteries of the Sith, and introduced the playable Mara Jade, where her was with guns and a lightsaber running around slicing up stormtroopers. You can have force powers and all that kind of stuff. And then after that, it was Jedi Knight 3, Jedi Knight Outcast.
Wow.
And then they had...
You know a lot about this.
Then that last one was Jedi Knight 2, Jedi Academy.
Yep.
And that's the one they put on Xbox also.
We played the shit out of those games. But the cool thing about the PC games were that you could put a code in for saber realism. And so if you threw your light... Because your lightsaber went at a bunch of different angles. And if you hit a stormtrooper in the video game with your saber, it worked exactly like it would in, you know... If it was in the movie where, like, if you cut, like, through the arm, the entire arm went off.
Yeah.
Really?
And it doesn't matter. If you hit him, like, 3 times in a row, just be, like, slicing him into 3 pieces.
And the cool thing is you had a saber throw, and what would happen is when you would do a saber throw, it was great for when you were fighting bosses because it would go at a certain distance, and then it would do this, like, pretzel-y kind of motion.
Yeah.
But if you timed it right and you threw it at a stormtrooper like that and went in through his chest, I mean, there were just, like... A million pieces of storm.
Yeah, just
like the stormtrooper. Yeah, that's awesome. Just dropped on the floor.
That's cool.
And it was a lot of fun.
It was epic.
And so, but you can't play any of those on Xbox One.
No.
No.
You can buy them on Steam if you want.
Yeah, you can buy them on Steam. I was actually playing Jedi Academy 2 not that long ago on my computer because I still have the disc, the original disc for that.
Well.
But it's fantastic. It's one of that whole series, the Dark Forces, the Jedi Knight series, one of the best Star Wars games out there.
Okay. All right, so new Star Wars games coming to you hopefully in 2 years, that it's going to be excellent.
And hopefully we'll be hearing more about the BioWare project soon, because that they're the ones that are have been doing the Old Republic, Star Wars The Old Republic, which is the massive multiplayer online RPG for computer, which is fantastic, but I'm just bitter about it because I don't have a good enough computer to run it.
I have an Apple, so it won't run shit either.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, all the BioWare Star Wars stuff has been fantastic. They did Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic 1 and 2, and those were both amazing games. So what Jeremy and I have been hoping for is that we're going to get another BioWare Star Wars game for console.
Do you think Rockstar has enough money to pay Lucas and do an open world Star Wars game?
They would never allow that.
Really?
Yeah, no way.
EA wouldn't farm it out like that. They would only have a company that they owned to do it.
Yeah. Damn it. Because that, oh, God.
And even then, they wouldn't let, I mean, Rockstar's too adult for
what adult Star Wars? How awesome would that be?
It would be amazing. I would love it. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying it's a pipe dream.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a YouTube video that has like a certain scenario of Rockstar, like Grand Theft Auto with Star Wars in it.
Oh my God. Jack and Lance Speeders.
Oh, Jack and Lance Speeders, and then like raping people for money, killing them for their money. So good. I like it.
Well, we never really got to see what Star Wars 1313 was.
Yeah, we didn't get to
see the rumor aborted. Is.
What is that?
Well, it was, you played a bounty hunter, and on the planet Coruscant, there's all these different levels, right? And the higher up you are, the nicer it is, the closer to the surface of the planet, the kind of shittier things are. And so this takes place on level 1313, which is still super, super low, and you're basically like a bounty hunter. They never really gave you the story, but I read a thing where it was far enough in development that they're looking at it now and actually trying to determine, is it something that if they just, could they finish it and release it, and would it not suck?
Hmm. Interesting.
I just want more Star Wars games. Yeah. It just comes down to that. I just want more fucking Star Wars
games.
And
Republic Commando was another first-person shooter that was so much fun.
Even the Obi-Wan game was fun.
Yeah.
That
had the craziest lightsaber dynamics of any game I've ever played.
Can't a brother just get some Star Wars games?
It shouldn't be this hard. It's Star Wars, for crying out loud. And the only fucking Star Wars games we've gotten in the last couple years have been a goddamn shitty Battlefront game and a stupid app.
I would like to just go back to that statement that the stupid-ass Battlefront they've been trying to get me to play for weeks.
Stop being a bitch. Just buy it.
Just buy it. It's stupid, but it's worth it.
It's worth it because we'd have fun. Okay, okay, okay. Let's move on from Star Wars. Since it's 2 days from Halloween, let's talk about horror movies that we can look forward to in 2017.
Okay.
I've got tons to mention. First off, Annabelle 2. Did y'all see Annabelle? It was the spinoff movie.
I loved Annabelle.
I liked Annabelle. It was a spinoff movie from The Conjuring about the doll. They're making a sequel. You also have an amazing movie that we've all been waiting for years. Great Stephen King book, Dark Tower. And that is going to be directed by Nikolai Arvel. But also produced and written and helped out with by Ron Howard, and it stars Idris Elba and Matthew. All right, McConaughey. Mm-hmm. Very excited about that. There also is going to be a goddamn another Amityville horror movie with Bella Thorne and Jennifer Jason Leigh. It's called Awakening. Exactly. It looks like it's like a new family, present day. They move in and it's the Amityville house.
I'm so tired of Amityville movies.
There
you
go.
Just get a new freaking story, for crying out loud.
We also have World War Z 2 with Brad Pitt going to be produced and starring him. We don't have a director yet, but I'm looking forward to another World War Z movie. It was a good Pepsi commercial for them. Jeepers Creepers 3.
That's exciting.
I am going to boycott this movie.
Oh, okay.
Just because of the director, Victor Salva. He is a convicted and served time for pedophilia.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Go back and watch Jeepers Creepers 1 and especially part 2. And he was caught. You can read this. He was in prison for, I think, 2 or 3 years. But, yeah, he... fucking minors, like young boys.
Wow.
Yeah.
So not even like like someone who's a like a year younger the age.
No, like young kid, boys. Children. Yeah,
man.
Look, you should look at his pictures. You're like, God, this guy still makes movies and he's allowed to. Jeepers Creepers 3 by Victor Salva. I probably won't be seeing it just because of that.
That's crazy.
But
one I'm excited to see that just came out today, I think, on Netflix. A new Netflix original horror movie called I Am the Pretty Thing That Lives in the House.
Okay, what's that about?
It's a ghost story. So I don't know a whole lot about it yet, except for there's a nurse that has to go to a house to take care of an elderly woman, and it turns out to be supernatural, scary stuff. But it looks really awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah, it looks like a solid flick, and it's a Netflix original, so that's going to be getting watched soon.
I got to watch that.
Yep.
There's another one coming out next year called The Bye-Bye Man. It is about, I guess, college students, and they're haunted by some, like, evil force. It stars Faye Dunaway, Carrie Ann Moss, and, of course, our favorite, Doug Jones, who's in all of the Guillermo del Toro movies, like, as, like, one of the monsters. So he's going to play the Bye-Bye Man, which will be super cool. You also have Gore Verbinski's new movie. Gore Verbinski's most famous for the American version of The Ring, which came out in the early 2000s. He's doing a movie called A Cure for Wellness with Dane DeHaan and Jason Isaacs. And it's, I guess, about Dane DeHaan goes to check on the CEO of a company who's at this wellness center, and supposedly like some really diabolical shit's going on. And he's trapped there. And it's like the haunted spa.
Didn't Gore Verbinski do all the Pirates of the Caribbean movies?
Did he do all of them? Or just a couple?
First three, I think.
Oh, well,
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Did you? I don't know if you're going to mention what he's most famous for.
The Ring! And then they're finally, I think, after several years, they're rebooting Friday the 13th yet again.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. It's directed by, I think it's David Buckner. He did one of the VHS shorts called Amateur Night, and he also did that horror movie called The Signal about zombies from several years ago, which was really cool.
Okay.
So yeah,
I hope it's good. I always hope the Friday the 13th, the franchise movies are good, but so frequently they're not.
We never know.
You never know.
There's also a really weird one called Get Out, and it's written and directed by Jordan Peele from Key and Peele. It's a horror movie, and it's supposedly it's kind of like The Stepford Wives, but more long line black people in a white community, and the white community turns on them, or something like that.
Okay.
But for a guy like Jordan Peele from Key and Peele doing a horror movie, that's really cool to me.
And now, don't we have 31 coming out soon too?
31's out to this year, so it won't be next year. But 31 like came out, I think, in theaters last week.
Really?
Yeah,
it's already out.
Yep.
Have you seen it?
I have not seen it yet. I want to.
Okay.
But that's this year.
Yeah.
31 is the Rob Zombie movie where people are kidnapped and thrown into a warehouse. Yeah.
Shows what I know.
And they have to escape 12 hours of serial killer clowns.
Yeah.
Of all shapes and sizes. speaking of clowns, you have the remake of It.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's good.
I'm excited about that one. I hope it's good. Because, I mean, they don't have to do much to be better than the original. The only thing that was good about the original was Tim Curry's
Pennywise. He's still fucking frightening.
Yeah, oh, he's terrifying.
The rest of the movie is a giant turd. Is very cringe-worthy bad.
Yeah.
Yet another Resident Evil movie comes out next year. It's called The Final Chapter, which I call bullshit.
Yeah.
If it makes more money than it makes double its money or more, which it will, they're going to do more.
So bad. I hate those movies.
It's the second Final Chapter.
Yeah. And we're getting an Underworld movie next year.
Fuck that, too.
No! Give me the Underworld, man.
So you're an Underworld fan more than you are?
As long as Kate Beckinsale's in it, I will give my
money. She is going to be in it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. The only one I didn't like was the one that didn't have her in it. That one was not good.
I'm out on that. You can see that.
I know Megger's on this train with me.
We'll go watch it. You can come, too.
Well,
you're going with us.
We're going to have to, I'm going to have a flask with
me. The three of us fucking sat through Wolverine Origins. You can sit through.
We did sit through Wolverine Origins. That was a horror movie.
One of the low points in my very life.
I remember we were all real excited to see that. And after it was like the complete opposite. Wanted our money back. They're rebooting Ring. So it's going to be called Rings.
I don't know why. It's crazy to me that they're rebooting a movie that's that relatively new.
Well, they're rebooting Spider-Man again for the third time. They're just rebooting things.
I mean, the Ring was such a great movie, The Ring. It was an awesome movie.
There's been like two or three since then.
Yeah, but those all sucked. The first one was the only one that was any good, and it was so good. It was only like, what, 10 years ago, 15 years ago?
It was 15, because I think I was in college, so it was like, it's hard to believe it's like 17 years ago. Jeez.
Either way, it's not like, I mean, give me a remake of something that needs a remake. Something that was, that could have been good, but wasn't, you know?
Schindler's List?
I mean, more like, okay, so like that movie 13 Ghosts. I'll take a remake of that one.
Well, that was a remake from the early 2000s.
I'll take a remake of that. Amityville and stuff where it's just the same shit over and over and over again. But, you know, I'd like that. I mean, they could do The Grudge again, because the Grudge, the American version of The Grudge was terrible.
You didn't like that? A lot of people really liked that.
I think the American version sucked. I did not like the American version.
You liked Ringu better.
No, that was The Ring. That was the
Ju-on. Oh, that's right. That's right. What was the Ring. Ju-on?
Yeah.
Ju-on.
I think Ju-on was scarier in a way, definitely. Yeah.
It was that Japanese horror. You also have their remaking Flatliners. The old,
that's cool.
Yeah.
Kiefer Sutherland movie?
They're all going to be in it, too.
Awesome.
So that's really cool. Insidious Part 4, really good. They're rebooting Saw, so it's going to be called Saw Legacy.
Awesome.
So you thought Saw was over?
Nope.
You're getting Saw Legacy.
That's the horror part of it. It just keeps going.
No desire to those movies ever.
Here's one that's based on your iPhone, your mobile device game, Five Nights at Freddy's, which I've never played, but
they're making a movie of it.
Making a movie.
Okay.
Chucky Part 7, which is going to be a reboot and sort of sequel, too. Which, with the original filmmakers, which is awesome. I have a very, very soft spot for the Child's Play Chucky movies, and I'm always looking forward to the next one.
Very cool.
So very excited about that. You also have a remake of Suspiria, which is one of my all-time horror favorites. That is an Italian film by Dario Argento, and it's badass. You have a movie called Sky Sharks with zombie sharks flying through the sky and water. I'm all the fuck over that. Well, you're shaking your head and rolling your eyes. Why?
Shit, but no, he's like, Underworld is crap.
Underworld is the best, but Sky Sharks, fuck you. Why?
I'm tired of the bad sci-fi horror shark movies.
Why?
Because they're awful. They're so bad. I mean, I know they intend to be bad.
Yes.
But I just can't handle it.
So, I mean, okay, Sharknado.
Yeah, no.
Add zombie sharks to it. It's going to be so badass. So good. I'm gonna front row.
I don't like shark movies anymore. I've given up on them.
Really?
Yeah. The last decent shark movie was Open Water.
It was
10 years ago now, probably
more than that.
Open Water was actually a pretty solid shark movie.
Deep Blue Sea and Jaws.
Oh man. Deep Blue Sea.
Sam Jackson's best role ever. They're revamping or remaking George Romero's Day of the Dead, which is supposedly going to be very close to the original movie.
I'm cool with that.
Yeah. We'll see. That revamp of Dawn of the Dead, even though I don't think it should have been called Dawn of the Dead, was badass. That was written by James Gunn, who's done the Guardians of the Galaxy movies.
Mm-hmm.
You have a remake of Maniac Cop, which is crazy and weird and fun. Hellraiser Part 10. If we're keeping count. And really excited about this, Trick or Treat 2, which one of my favorite horror Halloween movies is Trick or Treat, the anthology story.
I'm extremely excited about that.
Yeah, so Trick or Treat 2 is going to be cool. So there's actually, most of the movies are remakes, reboots, or sequels.
Yeah.
But still, there's a lot of horror to look for. And these are just some of them that are coming out.
So I've got an interesting question. This is just off the top of my head. We haven't planned this at all. So if you guys draw blanks, that's totally fine. What's an original story for a horror movie that you would like to see created, like a horror movie based on something that you've heard of or thought of that would make for a scary original story for a horror movie, as opposed to having another reboot or another remake, something like that. Something that has never been done that you would like to see, some story that's creeped you out that you could see making a great horror movie.
That would make a really good horror movie.
Mm-hmm. What about that? Because I was thinking of that thing that you were talking about, The Gateway to Hell.
Yeah, yeah.
In your college town.
Yeah, so that would be, I'd probably, so I started writing a book on that, mm-hmm. for Was it November RIMO or July NoRIMO? One of those months where you have to write a book in a month. You know, I started doing that 1 year, and I wrote a bunch of pages on a story based on that, where it was guys my age who all have families, but they were going to go, they all wanted to make a movie, and they were like, we're going to go back to the college town to where this gateway to hell is and like start and do our movie there. But then once they're there, all sorts of crazy shit happens to them. Like it's a, there's going to be elements from probably In the Mouth of Madness in there, but like very dark, sadistic shit.
Nice. That would be fantastic. So, like Event Horizon, but on Earth.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes. That'd very much so. Okay. So I think that would be really, really cool to do, because yeah. I think people can, you know, at least, you know, in the ages of 20s, 30s, 40s, where, you know, you have your life, you have your families, you're doing stuff, but like you're going to, you have a yearly guys trip and your guys are like, oh, we've always talked about making a movie. We've gotten the script ready. We've done this. And like, let's finally make it, you know, right. Like, okay, you know, wives, we're going to be gone for 2 weeks making this horror short movie or whatever. Right. And we got this house, you know, right here, and it's going to be cool. And then, oh God, there is the 7K.
So it's halfway up without a paddle, and half yes. of that horizon.
Very much so. Very much so. Oh, and like there's going to be like flat.
With Seth Green.
Yes, yes. That's that. I would love to do that.
That's a good idea. I like that.
Thank you,
Jeremy. What about you? Have you ever heard of anything that you think would make for a creepy ghost story, or not a ghost story, but
I think
a story?
I really think of one thing. I can say that I'm a little over across the board is all the zombie stuff.
Yeah, it's definitely oversaturation.
There's too much.
So I write about, so on High Def Digest and stuff like that, I write a lot of Blu-ray reviews on zombie movies, and I start out almost all the same way of these articles of like, the market is so oversaturated with zombies. You've seen Nazi zombies. You've seen children zombies. You've seen zombie beavers. You've seen, there's literal
zombievers.
I mean, there's no, and so like, it's very difficult to find, you know, something that's gonna, what sticks out to you? What would you want to see that has not been done in the zombie genre?
I don't know. I mean, because the problem is it's not something where when you have some of the other like monsters, like vampires and werewolves, there's kind of lore that goes with it, and there's variations on the lore. There's not really much you can do different with zombies, and people will still watch it and be like, oh, I'm watching zombies. Because, I mean, really the only thing that you can vary is just how fast they run. It's like you either have the slow kind of zombie walk, decaying body, or you have the fast-running zombies, and that's it. Or, you know, you have a show like iZombie.
Well, so I like, I mean, I think there's a little bit more to it, because they, George Romero and his movies, as they've, his movies gone on, have, he's shown that zombies kind of like develop like an intelligence of some sort that they can communicate with other zombies. Mm-hmm. Like in Land of the Dead, you know, in the early 2000s, where the main like big black zombie was calling the other zombies to come follow him to go live somewhere else. And then it showed up in like, what was it? Survival of the Dead. So I think we've seen zombies, some zombie movies where they kind of have more of just like, I need to eat. They have like more of a brain, and like it would be cool to harness that to see what you can do.
Just
with
something different. I mean
Shaun of the Dead, I think, was very different, but also very, I mean, that was fine. Perfectly fine.
But that was also before the zombie craze. I would say Shaun of the Dead was a little, was on the front runner of the zombie craze.
Well, for us, I think it was Shaun of the Dead, or even that remake of Dawn of the Dead, or 28 Days Later.
I think 28 Days Later was really, when we did it.
But really, since Walking Dead season 1, I think just everything zombie wise, yeah. Because it did so well.
Well, I remember World War Z also was a big, the book was a big part of
it. Oh, yeah, because that's an oral history, yeah. Written by Max Brooks, the son of Mel Brooks.
Yep.
And
World War Z was one of the first things I remember hearing, like at the very beginning of the whole obsession with zombies.
Well, before that book, he wrote the Zombie Survival Guide,
right?
Which was really cool. It was literally a Boy Scouts book to surviving the zombie apocalypse, which was really cool. But 28 Days Later and Walking Dead, I think, and it's so oversaturated right now. Like every network channel, every movie, everything has zombies in it now. So it's very difficult to find what's the new thing.
You know, what to answer my own question, that a movie that I would like to see, because I think there's so much untapped history here and potential, would be using Native American lore for a horror movie.
Yes.
Because that's never really been, as far as I know, tapped in horror movies. I mean, they have so many interesting things, including a creature called the Skinwalker, which was, there's a big, long history, and you can look these, just Google Skinwalker, and you'll come up with all kinds of interesting stuff. But it's almost like a werewolf, something like that, but a little bit, it's more of a conscious spirit like that's passed on into this form of a werewolf-type creature. But there's so many other things
The Native American we usually get is Indian burial grounds with, like, poltergeist or pet cemetery.
Yeah, but I would rather see, like, something that's in that time period.
Yeah,
American time period where it's actually, like, the Native Americans experiencing something that's supernatural and frightening. That'd
it's
be really
not
cool.
Of the scary variety, but I think the TV show Supernatural actually uses skinwalkers.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah, you're right.
So then, the same idea, but the scary version. You know what I mean?
I mean, Supernatural is still going strong. Ugh. Sam and Dean Winchester. I can't believe you don't like that show.
It's not that I don't like it. It's that I fucking hate it.
I just want to find your death warrant with some of our listeners by saying that.
You know, the Strain actually does a pretty good job of taking, you know, some of the monsters and doing something new and different. Have you guys watched any of that?
Oh, the Strain? Absolutely. The Strain's really good.
The Strain's pretty good. Really good. They power me down with some of, like, the writing that they do on there. They love to do the thing where it's like you have a smart character do something stupid just because you need to advance the plot. And that powers me down a little bit, but they don't do it too often. But it's nice because you have, like, the head vampire, right? And they don't have the normal fangs. They have this, like, long, like, they call it a stinger that, like, retracts into the body. And so, like, it reaches forward. So, basically, like, you could sit here and it could, like, come out of the mouth and, like, grabs a hold of your neck.
So, like, the alien xenomorph thing?
Yeah, but, like, really long and way grosser. But the cool thing is you have the head vampire. And if he just turns you, you just become the equivalent of, like, a zombie vampire just running around feeding. But he can see through everybody's eyes. But what he can do is he can grant intelligence and, like, increased strength and things like that. So you have him, and then you have, like, the people, the kind of vampires that serve directly under him. And, you know, those are the ones that he grants, like, the ability to speak to. Okay. So you kind of have
it's almost like a bee hive mentality. It's what
it
sounds like.
A little bit. And okay. So you have kind of, like, this blend of vampire, different taken vampires, but these, like, vampire zombies running around, and it's pretty cool.
Interesting.
That's cool. Yeah. All right. That's our podcast.
Yeah.
Mediocrity number 19. Happy Halloween, everybody. We will be back next week with hopefully a very special 20th episode.
Woo!
I can't believe it's been almost 20 weeks. But yeah, find us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, media_ocrity or Mediocrity. Again, we are on iTunes, Multimedia Men. Check us out, subscribe to us, rate us, review us, and Stitcher Radio. Thanks for listening. Happy Halloween.